Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, happy Friday. Hope you're ready for the weekend and thanks for downloading today's podcast on the 29th of November. In just a moment, we'll hear from a Kent family who've issued a warning to others after their dog was hit and killed by a utility vehicle on a golf course. We'll also hear from JB Gill about making it through to the quarterfinals on Strictly. But first, taking a look at our top story today. An investigation is underway after a train derailed near Ramsgate Railway Station. The train was spotted off the tracks, sparking major delays on the network late last night. It's understood it wasn't in service at the time. We've been given this statement from the Southeastern Network Rail Alliance.
An incident occurred last night in which an empty train in the sidings at Ramsgate Depot derailed at low speed. There were no injuries and the incident is under investigation. Services are running normally through the area this morning at a reduced speed. There was some disruption to our services and if any of our customers were delayed, they can claim delay repay. The latest travel updates are available on the Southeastern website, app, X and WhatsApp channels. We apologise for any inconvenience this has caused.
In other news, a Kent family has issued a heartbreaking warning after their dog was hit and killed by a utility vehicle in Maidstone. Mel Lacey was walking his three dogs at Cobtree Manor Golf Course when he says one of them, a miniature Yorkshire Terrier called Poppy, was struck and killed. He's told us he was on the 14th hole talking to a greenkeeper when it happened on October 30th.
Really just don't want it to happen to anybody else. I mean, those dogs are our life, really. We have three. Poppy, who got hit, was a three-year-old. She's got a life in front of her and it's been taken for no reason at all. It's always been one of the safest places to walk your dogs, always, because obviously there's no traffic over there or anything like that. It's acres and acres to walk into and it was their happiest place to visit. The dogs since then, I've taken them back there, not in the morning because there's no greenkeepers in the morning, in the evenings, and they keep barking me out all the time. It's like they're distressed still. It looks like they're calling her.
The 54-year-old says they've still not received an apology from the club. Kent Police have confirmed they were called to the golf course on Chatham Row, but they found no criminal offence had been committed. The course is run by council, who say they are aware of an investigation, and the managing company are carrying out their own inquiries.
Kent Online News.
We're being warned not to approach a convicted killer who's wanted on recall to prison. Peter Clement was jailed for his part in the death of another man in Danejohn Gardens in Canterbury in April 2013. Police say the 61-year-old's licence was revoked, although this is in relation to a separate conviction. A driver who was jailed for a crash near Gillingham that left a man seriously injured is back behind bars after his victim died. Hughie Coyle's been prosecuted for a second time over the same collision that happened in 2019, but for a more serious offence. The 26-year-old from Oak Lane in Upchurch has now been convicted of causing death by dangerous driving. Greg Wallace has thanked fans for their support as the BBC investigates allegations against him. The TV presenter, who lives in Biddenden, has been accused of making inappropriate comments on a range of programs over 17 years. He stepped aside from hosting MasterChef and posted a short video on Instagram.
I would like to thank all the people getting in touch, reaching out and showing their support. That's good of you. Thank you very much.
It's understood he's cooperating with the investigation. An all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant in Canterbury has been criticised by inspectors after they found rat droppings and rusty kitchen equipment. Chom Chom in Burgate Lane was given just a one-star rating following the visit, with bosses told to take immediate action. They've been unavailable for a comment. Tributes are being paid to a popular Medway pub landlord who's died at the age of 74. Barry Pitcher used to run the Crispin and Crispianus in Strood and most recently Expectations in Rochester. He's been in a wheelchair since having a stroke in 2017. Government spending on the asylum system has risen by more than a third over the space of a year. It's gone up from just under £4 billion to £5.4 billion. That's despite overall migration dropping by 20%. The fall is partly down to fewer people and their families coming to the UK on work visas. Labour MP for Dover and Deal, Mike Tapp, says he's confident there'll also be a big drop in small boats crossing the channel.
I genuinely think that working upstream with our international partners, combined with the Border Security Command and bringing in the security services, will have a massive impact on this. I'd say before the next general election, we'll see some results.
Two men have admitted using crowbars to break into a shop in New Ash Green to try to steal cigarettes. One also used the weapon to attack a police officer who'd been called to the Morrison's Daily in the Row in the early hours of last Friday. The pair, who are from Southampton, will be sentenced at a later date. A man found sleeping in a car in Margate has led to three suspected drug dealers being charged. Police noticed the man in the front of the vehicle in Grosvenor Place yesterday morning. Two others were also discovered inside. A search uncovered a knife, cannabis and suspected Class A drugs. Two teenagers have been arrested after a motorbike was stolen from a delivery driver in Gillingham. The Honda was taken from the high street on Wednesday afternoon. The boys, who are 15 and 17, have been questioned and the vehicle was recovered from Arden Street.
Kent Online News.
Accommodation for young people in Medway who are facing homelessness has been officially opened. The Sunrise Foyer in Chatham has 25 studio flats, 3 one-bedroom apartments and 2 that are adapted for people with mobility issues. It'll be staffed 24 hours a day and has space for activities and workshops. Ashley Hook is the Chief Executive of MHS Homes.
The Sunrise Foyer is a brand new foyer in Chatham. We currently have 2 other foyers in the Medway area, and it's specifically designed to meet the housing needs of young people 16 to 25 years of age. And actually how the model works is it tries to kind of not just deal with people's housing needs, but also to connect them to training and employment opportunities. So it tries to break that cycle of no home, no job, no job, no home.
Yeah, very vicious cycle that an awful lot of younger people can get into. How big a demand was there for this facility then?
We have 2 foyers already and demand for them far exceeds supply. So we've been really working very closely with the local authority. They were keen to see us provide a new foyer. And when we looked at the figures, when we first put kind of these plans to paper 2-3 years ago, we estimated there was something like about 250 young people locally whose needs weren't being met. So as you can imagine, this is a new facility. It will look after for up to 30 young people at a time. So it's much needed.
And how long do you expect them to live there? Or is it kind of indefinite? They can stay there for as long as they need to?
No, their time in the foyer is time limited. Typically, it could be a year, depending on individual circumstances. But the intention really is to help them stabilise their lives, develop those life skills to have independence, connect them to employment or training opportunities. And then when the individual is ready, to then move them on. And, you know, it's difficult to speak about specific individuals because obviously someone who's 16 or somebody who's 25 is very different. So, for example, quite a number of the young people coming into the foyers are care leavers. So they'll be maybe 18 years old. They've had the local authority to call for parents. So obviously when they come into the foyers, the support they may need may be very different to, say, for someone who may be in their early 20s.
And can you tell us a bit about the foyer, what facilities they have and what it's like? Is it very independent living for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great facility that we have. In the Sunrise Foyer, there's 30 units, each self-contained. So kind of each young person has their own space, their own, kitchen, bathroom facilities. 2 of the facilities are actually fully wheelchair accessible. So they're newly built and they're really, really excellent. I mean, actually, the facilities themselves is an activity room. There's a gym. So kind of the facilities are really appealing to young people. And there's also other parts of the foyer that we can use for workshops, counselling sessions, meetings together with the residents. And the facility itself is staffed 24 hours a day. So, the physical environment provides for their needs, but there's also a whole support team there to help young people.
How proud are you, Ashley, of this facility? And how does it make you feel when you see young people who've been in the other foyers that you've already got go on and live independent and successful lives?
Oh, yeah, it's excellent. I mean, we've had young people come to the foyers who have then gone on to get jobs with MHS or go through apprenticeships. We've had young people who have gone to university after coming through the foyers. Obviously, different people, different routes. Success might mean different things for different individuals. But actually, the whole intention of the foyer is to try and find a better, more independent future for each individual whatever that shape may be.
Now, before it reopens as an airport, the runway at Manston could be used for drag racing. Plans have been put in to temporarily use the site in Thanet, where vehicles could reach speeds of over 100 miles per hour. There's already a drifting school nearby, and the owners of the airport have already given the new idea the thumbs up. Plans are due to be put in for hundreds of homes in Medway, with developers also promising to improve a nearby busy roundabout. If approved, the 800 properties would go on land north of Wainscott. The people behind it are holding a consultation to find out what locals think before submitting their application. Now, if you live in Swale, you're being asked what you think of the council's spending plans for the next financial year. Bosses have set out £2.3 million worth of savings to help plug a gap in their budget. It includes an increase in council tax, a consultation's running until the 8th of January.
Kent Online News.
A community choir has released a Christmas song to encourage more people to become foster carers. Money raised from the track called Welcome Home will go to the Diorama Foundation, which supports local families. The song was written and performed by the Ashford Sings Choir, which is run by foster carers Chris and Nick Kimmets. They've been telling Lucy how they came to look after children in care.
The journey started a long time ago when we were thinking of having a family ourselves, and that wasn't going as we hoped. It wasn't straightforward, and so as time went on, we started to ask the question of could we adopt or foster, and then we fell pregnant. And so then we ended up having our two girls, but the fostering adoption thing never really went away. And then when they were a bit older, we had the kind of realisation that we didn't want to have more of our own children, but we did have space in our family for more. And so we decided that fostering was the way to go, and reached out to some local charities and people we know who foster to get more information. And then that was it, really. That was the beginning. And then we started the assessment. And at every point we said to each other, we can stop at any point and we can just say no. But here we are. We're still here. And we're fostering now.
And what was the idea, Chris, behind doing this Christmas song?
Well, I've written Christmas songs for the choir before, and this year I was a little bit short on a theme, and I thought, not quite sure what to cover. I've done sort of Christmas trees, I've done hope, I've done all kinds of things, and I thought, what about fostering? What does it feel like to be in care when it's Christmas? And so I began to look up some quotes and tried to find some things that people have said who are care experienced. And the overwhelming thing really was they wanted somewhere they felt they could belong at Christmas. So I started to just sit in front of the piano, bounce some ideas around, and really came up with this theme of welcome home as being a greeting of saying to someone, you really belong here. So welcome home. And really the song just developed from there.
And Nick, from the experience you've had and the children you've looked after, I mean, what is it like for a child in care at Christmas?
It is a very different experience for different children. So actually, for some children, they've had positive Christmases in the past, but for whatever reason, they can't be with their birth family. And for other children, they've had really traumatic experiences of Christmas. And so there's definitely not a one size fits all. But I would say the common theme is wanting a safe place to belong and be wanted and loved and celebrated at Christmas. Is common across the board, but the experiences themselves, I think, are very different between different children.
And one of the things you guys are trying to highlight is a shortage of foster carers. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, it's basic maths. There are just not enough foster families for the number of children that are coming into care every day. And the statistics are really stark, actually. And so there's lots and lots of reasons for that, but there's just not enough families. And so, you know, we believe that the best place for a child and young person to be is within a family setting, and that there are some cases where that's not possible. But a lot of the time children are being moved into more residential places or group homes, not because it's the right thing, but because it's just a shortage of families for them to go and be a part of. And so there's a massive need for all kinds of people to come into foster care. And you can do it whether you're single or whether you're married, whether you're younger or older, working. You know, it's a whole range of people are needed because there's a whole range of children out there that need the right match for them.
The choir will be performing the song in Trafalgar Square on the weekend before Christmas.
Kent Online News.
A museum on Sheppey has put together a team of scorpion hunters to keep tabs on a colony that lives in Sheerness Dockyard. The yellow-tailed scorpions have been there for more than 200 years, and bosses are now looking for a chief wrangler. The Bluetown Criterion Museum put out an advert and have so far had around 40 applicants. Kent Online reporter Joe Crossley has been out on the hunt with some of those who have already signed up.
I'm here at the Blue Town Criterion Museum in Sheerness, which is looking for volunteers to become scorpion wranglers. Their job is to basically patrol the walls and find the scorpion colony, which came here in the 1800s. I'm going to go today.
John Nurden, retired chief scorpion wrangler of the Blue Town Heritage Centre.
So have you got any advice for me as I'm looking for these scorpions, John?
Well, it's kind of really difficult this time of the year because it's a little bit cold. So I would imagine if I was a scorpion, I'd be in bed tucked up and nice and warm. But during the summer, the walls here at Sheerness Docks teem with scorpions. And people tend to think that they're big and evil, like they see in David Attenborough documentaries. But they're not, they're really tiny. They are titchy-witchy things.
So I've just finished scorpion wrangling, and while it took us a long time to find it, we found one scorpion, a tiny little thing, but it was brilliant. Great fun, got the UV torches out with our helmets on for health and safety reasons, but brilliant. Great fun, you should volunteer, and also you should come down to the museum here. It's packed full of amazing different items from history, showing the history of the island and Sheppey, and really doing it justice. So come down to Blue Town, volunteer to become a scorpion wrangler. It's got my thumbs up of approval.
If you fancy having a go yourself, the museum will explain its plans for wrangling volunteers during an open day for all applicants from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. on Saturday, January 4th. Volunteers are being urged to play their part in boosting biodiversity in part of Thanet by planting hundreds of saplings. They'll grow to create a hedgerow at the Oval Bandstand and lawns in Cliftonville. It's after a local group was given a grant through the Tree Council's Branching Out Fund. Two new trains are being added to Southeastern's fleet to improve journeys for passengers. The more modern class 377 units are more reliable and have air conditioning. Another 11 will be in service before December 2025. And it's Musicals Week on Strictly. Ken's JB Gill will be doing a waltz. He's dancing with pro partner Lauren to Let's Go Fly a Kite from Mary Poppins. The JLS singer's told Lucy he can't quite believe he's made the quarterfinals.
To be honest, you know, I've always been taking it week after week, and you know, it's been busy, of course. You can imagine, you know, every single week you're learning a new routine, but you know, you're kind of slotting in work in between that, and you know, that's kind of, you know, been my focus, really, just taking one week as it goes and seeing what happens.
What was it like to dance in Blackpool?
It was great fun, to be honest. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to sort of get a bit of a change from the traditional studio. But yeah, obviously being back here, you know, we're sort of on the countdown to Christmas now. And I'm very much looking forward to getting stuck into all of that.
And of course, you had a change in partner as well when Amy fell ill. How's that been kind of adapting to dancing with someone new?
Yeah, it's been challenging, of course. You know, there's lots of you know, changes that you have to kind of undergo. It's not easy, but Lauren's amazing, and it's been great working with her. And yeah, of course, looking forward to taking things as far as I can, really.
And has Amy been in touch? Do you still sort of see her? Is she encouraging you through the journey as well?
Yeah, to be fair, you know, Amy's been amazing. Obviously, we've started a great partnership in the early days. And so, yeah, just been obviously keeping in touch and, you know, wishing her well.
That's all from us today and for the week. Thank you ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.